Good morning. Okay, it's good to see you this morning on this beautiful Memorial weekend morning, something like that. So are you doing good today? I don't know how you could be doing badly after all most of us have tomorrow off, right? You love your job that much, huh? I do. Anyway, we're going to continue in our series this morning of What is a Christian? Out of the book of Jude. With part two, which is entitled, and it's really apropos for the day, the title of it is, You're in the Army Now, okay? You're in the Army Now. In the message this morning, we find Jude, who is the half-brother of Jesus, suddenly making this massive shift, if you will, concerning the subject matter of his letter or his communication. After he started to write, he suddenly changes his mind as to what he's going to focus on. He totally homes in on a different subject, a more pressing subject, that was troubling the church of Jesus Christ. And I think probably that same problem that they were having, we're having it today. But immediately after the greeting and voicing some encouragement to the readers, Jude just dives right into the new purpose, if you will, for writing this letter. As we get started this morning, would you please stand with me and we will declare our Bible declaration. All right? Some of you are going, do I have to get up? I just sat down. Yeah. All right. Let's take our Bibles. Looks like you know the drill. Okay. Hold them up towards heaven and we will say this. Okay? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same in Jesus. I didn't get to say that last part, okay? So let's do it again, okay? I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. By the way, I want to thank Chrissy and the praise team for leading worship while Pastor Josh is gone. They did a wonderful job. Yeah. I always wonder if when I take off, you know, because at times I take off from Sunday morning. I always wonder if the guy that comes is going to speak so good that I'm not going to be able to have a place to preach when I come back. And Josh better start thinking, okay? No, not really. But Jude makes it very clear in verse 3 that he was going to write them to encourage them, okay, an encouraging letter, probably telling them about the great benefits that we have and that they had by being a part of the body of Christ. But like we already mentioned, something stopped him. My guess is it was the Holy Spirit, okay? And he addresses a completely different topic. You can turn with me, if you would, to Jude. I don't know how to say this. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, but there's no other chapter, so it's Jude, verse 3, okay? Jude, verse 3. Just wave at me when you're there. Or if you're not going to go there, if you see it on the screen, just wave at me, okay? Okay, all right. Okay, Ron. Okay. It says this, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. As we take this verse apart and as we examine it, it really becomes pretty clear why Jude finds this new subject that took the place of the old subject that was so very important. I wonder, Gary, could you come up and pray, please?
I love some of the words that they use, eagerly. Let's eagerly come before the Lord right now in prayer. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you reveal to us how real that you are. God, the true living God. Father, as Pastor West preaches today, I thank you that he will reveal your word in a way that we will understand it, God, that we will be able to take it in and grab a hold of it and leave this place better than what we came in. God, I thank you that you are going to receive honor today for all that's said and all that's done. And we praise you, we worship you in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. There are several words in this verse that we just read in Jude 3 that are very key in helping us understand what it was that Jude wanted to share and what was so important. But, for example, Jude addressed his readers as beloved, okay? Well, in the Greek, this is the word agapaleo, okay? Agapate. I'll try it again. Agapito. So you can figure out what word that was taken from, right? Okay? It was taken from the word agape, which is the plural form of it. And you guessed it, you know. He was speaking to them about the love of God. And I'm not going to tear apart going into agape again this morning, so you can just relax with that. But there are several words in the Greek language that are just not that easy to translate because they're so rich in meaning. And one of those is agape, okay? People translate it and translate it, but yet it really entails much more than probably anybody has ever interpreted so far, okay? But nevertheless, the base meaning of the word agape is this, okay? Someone's deep love for a person or an object causes them to experience a loss of words, okay? You ever been there? You experience a loss of words to express how they really feel because they're so taken with the beauty of either an object or a person. In this verse, Jude uses this word, okay? And he translates it as beloved. And he uses it to tell us that we as believers, and we need to pay attention to this part of the message if we don't get any more of it, okay? And it's this, that we as believers should view each other with deep admiration, with awe, and with wonder, okay? Now, you know, maybe that changes your way of looking at your brother or your sister on a Sunday morning that maybe you're a little mad with or a little upset with. But the truth is, he encourages us that the way to look at fellow believers are to look at them with beauty and to look at them with admiration and wonder. But Jude goes on to say this in verse 3, while I was very diligent to write to you, okay, and then we're going to look at the word diligent. And there is quite a few Greek words here, but I think it's important that we get the meaning of them to see what he is really saying here, how intense a few words are. But the word diligent is a form of the Greek word spoudazo, which means to do something with eagerness, Gary, okay, to do something with eagerness or diligence. It pictures someone who is so diligent or who is so excited and energetic that they put their whole heart into the principle or task that is set before them. And it signifies not only doing something with excitement and enthusiasm, but it signifies, doing something with haste or in a hurry because it's so important or so serious or so urgent. Plus, this word spoudazo also means to give one's best efforts, okay, to a project or a task, and to do it enthusiastically. Jude's use of this word was the equivalent of him saying this, I was so very excited and I fully intended on doing this. What was he enthusiastic about? He said this, okay, just after that. You know, he fully intended to do this, and that is to write you concerning our common salvation. The word common here is the Greek word koinos, which describes something that is commonly or mutually shared, okay? It's also the word that was used to denote the property that was mutually shared between a husband and a wife. In this case, Jude wanted to write to his readers about the many benefits of the believer, okay? that was mutually shared among all believers. Basically, this was intended to be a letter of encouragement. That's what he was going to do. He was going to encourage the readers. And it was going to be encouragement that would show, if you will, just how many benefits that they had in being in Jesus, just by accepting what he had done in Calvary, okay? Can I pray a minute? You know, I'm going to stay with this message, but I think. Father, I pray whatever is distracting me, I pray, God, it'd be gone. And Lord, I pray that this message would come across to the people the way you gave it to me. Lord, that it would be something that they could take home and chew on and realize that maybe there's some need for change in their life. Maybe there's something that they need to do to further their relationship with you. Maybe something is standing in the way. And they're going to hear something today, God, that will help them. So I pray for that in Jesus' name again. Amen and amen. The word salvation is a form of the Greek word which points toward the whole of the Jewish concept of salvation, okay? It included being saved from sin and going to heaven, of course, but it also included present day deliverance, okay? And that's what you and I have as well. And then again, divine healing. It also included preservation and prosperity and safety and general welfare, only to just name a few of what we receive when we receive salvation. It was all these amazing benefits that we possess by being placed in Christ. And that's what Jude was so excited to write about. I can see why. I love it when I can come to the pulpit and just preach to you about something that's just wonderful and fantastic, a revelation to you that maybe you didn't realize you had being a Christian. I mean, I can see why he was excited. Amen. Keep in mind now that Jude was the half-brother of Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. And he was thrilled beyond words to think about all his older brother had accomplished through his life on this earth. I mean, it was his brother, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. And then 3 days later, he was raised back to life. And by the sounds of things, Jude was simply beaming with joy, if I can say it like that, and with enthusiasm to talk about all the many things that our salvation entails. And someday I'm going to do a message on that. And I don't think it can even be preached in one message. And if you ever have time, look up what salvation really means, okay? Look it up in the Greek, look it up in the, you know, the American Dictionary, the Webster's, whatever, and understand the Strong's, you know? Understand that there is so much that salvation entails. But something very troubling caused Jude to change the focus of his letter. So what was that thing? History reveals to us, all right, that Jude had gotten a hold of Peter's second letter, and he read it, and he took it to heart. You know, actually, in 2 Peter 3:15-16, it tells us that it was a common practice for the apostles to read each other's writings. But when Jude read Peter's writings about the false prophets who were teaching and trying to spread lies among the believers, he was deeply disturbed, and he should have been. My sister talked to me last week. Well, we talk a lot, but she said she was talking to her fellow Bible study teacher. Okay, they teach it together. And she had said, "Boy, you know, I just talked to somebody who was a prophet." And yes, I believe in prophets nowadays, but not as many people who say they're prophets are prophets. Okay? But she said, I'm beginning to believe, in fact, I believe that we're living in the millennium. And I said, "Mary," that's my sister, "Mary, you don't believe that, do you?" She goes, "Well, no." I said, "Because I don't see Christ ruling and reigning right now. I see evil being very present, you know. And when I read the Bible, I don't show that, or it doesn't show me that we are in the millennium." And that's why it's so important. And people sometimes don't intend to spread lies, but they do spread lies. And then there's those that are intentional in spreading lies, Because the lies that they spread builds them up, all right? You know, if I thank God I'm a preacher, okay? I love what I do. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't want to be a real prophet. I wouldn't want to be a real prophet. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with that, more than just, hey, I'm going to give you a word. What if that word's wrong? Okay, what if that word directs the whole service or your whole life the wrong way? But that's why it's so important for you and I to know the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we spend our time, you know, trying to realize and understand who God really is. But anyway, he was deeply disturbed, and he should have been. In fact, Jude was so troubled that he wrote, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith." And please stay with me here, because there is a lot of Greek words, but in Greek, the word necessary is a translation of the word ananke, all right? Ananke, which describes something that is urgent or something that is or was a deep felt need. And by using this word, Jude is letting us know and letting his readers know that what Peter wrote was serious. He wasn't fooling around. It was very serious. So he felt compelled to exhort the believers on the same subject. This word exhort or exhorting, depending on what version you read, is the form of a Greek word, and you've heard this before, I don't know if you remember, but it's the Greek word parakaleo, okay? Which is a compound of the word para, which means to come alongside, and the word kaleo, which means to call out or to summon. Parakaleo, in this case, is so strong that it could be translated as to urge or to beg, to implore, or even to pray to. And what's so interesting here, that in ancient times, the word parakaleo was used to depict a military leader who came alongside his troops and just urged them and exhorted them, beseeched them, if you will, begged them and pleaded with them to hold their head high and throw their shoulders back and march forward into battle bravely and to fight to win, okay? You know, some of us would do good to understand what it means to fight to win. Amen? Yeah. To stand firm in where you are. You know, if my sister would have been moved by what this person said, she'd have been moved into just a whole mess, you know? But we have to learn that we got to fight to win. We don't battle against flesh and blood. We're not battling against that person that gave the wrong information. We're battling against the enemy. Okay? Because we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And please forgive me here. You know, there are those that just teach, oh, the demons are all gone. Okay. But I don't think so. Jude knew, okay, he knew someone needed to raise their voice like a military commander and speak to the troops in the body of Christ, okay? Being the half-brother of Jesus, he kind of seized his influence and exhorted, or parakaleo, the believers to contend earnestly for the faith. And this is where we have to pay close and very close attention to what Jude said. He said, and you just heard this, we are to contend earnestly for the faith. The words contend earnestly are a compound of a Greek word, epi and agodizomai, okay? The word epi is a preposition meaning for or over, okay? And it is an intensifier of the word agonizomai, which describes an intense struggle. And where we get the English word agony, actually. When these two words are combined together, it means to earnestly agonize over something. It's actually a picture, and I know this sounds kind of different, but it's a picture of two wrestlers, okay, who agonize to win over the other wrestler in a wrestling match. But both wrestlers work to gain the advantage and to hurl their opponent to the ground, right? Exerting every ounce of their strength and skill to win that very intense physical contest. In Jude's letter, this word depicts the wrestling match between those that are standing for the truth and their opponents who are pushing some kind of new deception. Okay? We get that today. Yes. You know, I don't care what. We hear all of a sudden all kinds of different things that aren't in the Bible. We take the things that are in the Bible and throw them out because, gee, those aren't very convenient, and add new truths that aren't truths. False teachers were trying to wrestle their faith to the ground, okay? And subdue it and modify it to further their own agenda. While this deception was wrestling to overpower the truth, Jude said, and he told you and I as well, to contend earnestly or to wrestle and work to gain the advantage and to hurl our opponent to the ground, exerting every ounce of our strength and skill to win very intense spiritual contests for the faith. Understand something here. He's not saying you should haphazardly fight for your faith. He's not saying that you should just, you know, kind of be a, you know, I don't even know if you can put, we say things like, well, he's a committed Christian. I thought Christians were committed. You know what I mean? Or we say, boy, he's really a super Christian, you know. No, wait, you know. Either you're a Christian, you don't have to add that to that to modify the word. You know, by saying Christian, it should be saying all we have to say. Are you with me? Again, in the Greek, the phrase the faith includes a definite article, which means this. This is not just faith for healing or having the faith for miracles or the faith for financial provision. This is the faith, okay? This is the faith. In other words, it's the clear and sound teaching. It is a doctrine, if you will, that's set forth in Scripture. And he's saying, fight for that. You need to fight for that. Every generation of believers is called by God himself to earnestly contend for the faith. And that's including our generation and every generation to come. I mean, I like Jude, the book of Jude, and I like James. They're really, you know, terse and to the point. They don't, but when you get into the Greek and you read those and start to understand what's being said, boy, they're pretty hard. They're saying just the way it is, you know. And sometimes we read the Bible and we take things as a, you know, like we can take it or leave it. But we can't. You know, we can't. We can't do that. With God's grace empowering you and I, we're to fight for and we're to defend and to guard, okay, the purity of the truth of the Word of God. And that's the way that it is. And I don't care if you're reading King James, New King James, NIV, NLT. You can't be led astray by any of them, okay? There's some of them I wouldn't study out of. You know, I mean, tear words apart and grab words because they aren't the same. But there is nothing in the Word of God. Well, okay, like there's the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I wouldn't use that one. And, well, yeah, there's some of the Catholic Bibles. I wouldn't use those either. But only because they have additional books in them that make the whole of Scripture contradict itself. In other words, and this is it, okay? This is it. If the Bible says it, then I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? Say that with me. If the Bible says it, then I believe it, and that settles it. And as a Christian, this has to be our mantra. I mean, this has to be what we believe in, what we fight and contend for. And just hear this. You and I, you might not think you're important, but you know, you are important. It's every you and every I, okay, are to preserve the truth of the Scriptures and then pass them along to the next generation. Amen? That's one of our jobs as parents, you know. And I thank God for my mom and dad. You know, I mean, they maybe weren't, you know, every single Sunday going to church. In fact, my dad didn't even go to church. But the truth was, they set forth the Bible in my life as being the be-all and end-all. You know, and that's in me, and you can't, and thank you, God, it can't be taken out of me. It's just I was raised with it and I believe it. And I pray for you that if you weren't raised with it, that you would just believe it and accept it. Amen? Jude tells us clearly that the truth we're fighting to preserve was, and he says this, once for all delivered to the saints. Okay? The Greek word for once here is a word that describes something that is complete or final. The Greek word, I'm going to leave that out. In fact, the word describes something that is so complete, all right? Speaking of the Bible, the faith, is so complete that it doesn't need any modifications or anything more added to it or anything taken away from it. I don't care if it was written 2,000 years ago and now we're in, you know, 2025. I hear that. Oh, the Bible is antiquated. That's for back then. Oh, Lord, help me. You know, we would not have a moral compass, period. If, you know, and these people, these atheists and agnostics, you know, they don't realize that they have a moral compass, and it comes from the Word of God. Amen. Okay? It comes from the Word of God. Nothing is to be added, and nothing is to be taken away. You know, I'll be really honest. There's some scriptures I don't like a lot, you know? Like the one that tells me that if I don't forgive people, God won't forgive me. Boy, that stinks. You know? And there's a number of scriptures like that, you know, that it's just not, it just isn't easy. And we are always looking for the easy way out. This brings us to the word delivered, okay? Which is a form of the Greek word parodidomai, which is a compound of the preposition para and the word didomai. The word para means alongside, okay? It means to pass something along from one person or to another. The word didomai means to hand over or again to pass to another person. Jude uses this word to indicate that the delivery or passing on of the scriptures from one person to the other and the entrusting the scriptures to someone, that we need to do that for their safekeeping. You know, sometimes I don't think we realize how important the Bible is, how very important it really is. If you think of the passing on of family traditions, it's a perfect example of what we should do with the Word. Just like we share and pass on our Thanksgiving Day, you know, our traditions and our Christmas traditions with our children as they grow up, we're also to share and pass on the pure truth of the Word of God with each and every upcoming generation. And I'm just going to say this, and if this is all you hear, other than the other thing I said, that if this is all you hear, to be successful, you have to be intentional. Okay? To be successful in anything, you have to be intentional. But to be successful in passing on the Word of God, you have to do it intentionally. It's got to be something that you think about to do, that to bring the Word of God into every situation that is, you know, that you can. Now, taking into account the original Greek meanings of all these words, Jude 1:3 could be translated like this, okay? Beloved, I call you that because it's the only word I know to express how deeply I love and cherish you. I fully intended to write to you about our mutually shared salvation, and I was eager, very eager, to write to you about this exciting subject and ready to engage all my abilities to dive deep into all the benefits that our salvation entails. But as I was about to get started, I found myself gripped with a sense of urgency and a deeply felt need to address another subject that came to my attention. He goes on, he says, I felt someone needed to come alongside the troops in the body of Christ to urge them to hold their head high and throw their shoulders back and, if necessary, look the enemy eyeball to eyeball and earnestly contend for the faith because it is under assault and attack. You know what? It is today, too. It is. God entrusted the faith. God entrusted the faith to us once for all and expects us to guard it and to maintain its integrity in the same form as it was delivered to us. God has given us the responsibility to impart it to others in the same form. See, this was the message, and I can understand why. I mean, this was the message that Jude felt was so important. You know, we can talk about all our salvation details later, but you got to get this down. You've got to understand this. And I can see why he changed what he was going to write about, and he changed it to this subject. It was important at the time of its writing, and I want you to know something, that it's important today. Amen? That little book that has one chapter in it that we so quickly go through before we don't read Revelation, okay? But sometimes it's hard to see and understand the importance of what's written, and that's why we have to understand that everything that is written in the Word of God is important, okay? As we witness, all right, the Word of God being twisted and misinterpreted to say whatever a person wants it to say, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the troops that Jude is talking about. You know, I am going to contend for the faith, putting forth the Word of God as the standard, okay, for life and for faith. And it's so important, okay? And I know, I always talk about the Word, but you know what? Hey, the Word, okay? I mean, that's the way it is. But I don't think any of this can be done in our lives unless we're intentional. You know, unless we get up in the morning and intend to share the Word. And you know, when we get a revelation, we share that with someone else, even if they don't get it at all, because someday they might, okay? How many of you this morning, you know, how many of you would like to be like the title says, you're in the army now? Amen? Come on. How many? How many would like to make the Word of God the most important thing in your life? Maybe it is already, but maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't. You know, maybe it's something that you know, but you don't. That's not really know because you're not really looking into it. And I realize I have all the time in the world to do this stuff. Okay, I realize that. But let me tell you this much. If God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. And that's how I've always lived my life since I've been a Christian. If it says it in His Word, I believe it, period. Even if I don't like it, I believe it. That settles it. No more room for argument, nothing. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand? Do you know? And God will anoint you at that time when you begin to share the Word of God with people that don't believe. He will anoint you to say just the right words. You know, the Bible talks about that, how we will be given the words that we need to speak, right? That isn't talking about preaching on a Sunday morning, okay? Oh, I don't have to prepare because, you know what? I know what to preach. No. He prepares you for times when people are in your path and He's made a way for you to share with them. And you know what? And I'm just going to say this and I'm going to close, but that isn't hard to do because He does give you the words to speak. He truly does. And even if that person doesn't receive those words that day, he or she just may receive those words down the line. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just remind each one of us Monday morning, or any situation that arises before Monday morning, and then every morning after that, that we are to be ambassadors for your word. We're to preserve your word and then share your word. And just like we hand down family traditions, God, we should be handing down what we know of the word and what it says in the word.
Yes.
And Lord, give us the courage. Give us the courage to do exactly that.
Yes.
Your word says you give us the words, but give us the courage to share those words. Father, we love you.
Yes.
We love your word. Thank you so much for giving us your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen.